Elke dag een beetje beter. I greet you, brothers and sisters, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know many announcements, just one for the collection. The first collection is for the church, and the second one is for the bond of churches. For the church and also for the bond of churches. After the a greeting and a blessing, we sing from Psalm 103, and then there we sing verse 6, verse 7, and verse 11. Psalm 103, the Lord who provides healing and forgiveness of sin, we are to bless his name. Let us stand to receive the blessing from the Lord. I look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. the Lord who has called us to come to the church service, to gather together as believers, also speak to us through his word. We read from the Ten Commandments. We read Exodus 20 and then verse 1 to 17. Exodus 20 and verse 1 to 17. We listen to the law of the Lord. And as we come and listening to the law of the Lord, we come and show our sorrow because of our sins. But at the same time also, we come with joy because of our Lord Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. So we can be thankful as we look for the Lord for the forgiveness of sin. The Lord has also provided grace and the way that we can be reconciled to him. Exodus 20, then verse 1. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you might live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Amen. As a response to the law of the Lord, we sing together from Psalm 130. Psalm 130, where the psalmist is like in an ocean or in a sea, drowning because of his sins. But then he looks to the Lord to save him. He's like a watchman longing for the morning, and then he's looking for the Lord to save. And we can be glad as the Church of God that God provide salvation and for our sins. Let's sing together Psalm 130 as we come, as we are nearing to pray. us assemble in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, our Father, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, indeed, O Lord, if you didn't forgive any sins, O Lord, who would be forgiven? We long for your salvation more than the watchmen wait for the morning, more than the watchmen wait for the morning, because it is only you, O Lord, who can provide forgiveness of sin. It is only you who can provide salvation. And as we come, O Lord, reading the commandments as a mirror, seeing, O Lord, our weaknesses and sins, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. And we come also with joy because, O Lord, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through him, O Lord, we are counted righteous, not because of what we have done, Lord, because of your mercy. We pray, O Lord, as we begin the service, that you be with us. Accept our singing as an aroma, O Lord. We pray, O Lord, also that you might accept our humbleness in prayer, not because we are worthy, Lord, because you are merciful. Be with us today as we listen to your word. Open our hearts that we might be guided by you, O Lord. Forgive all our sins, forgive all our trespasses, and restore us to your way. O Lord, we pray that not to us, O Lord, not to us, but only to your name be honor, be glory. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Our text this evening, this morning, I'm used to come to the evening. Our text this morning is Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. And then we continue again reading from Mark chapter 2, and then verse 1 to 12. So we begin from Mark 1, verse 40 to 45. And then from there we read Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. It's where we will find our text. Our reading begins from chapter 1. Marcos, chapter 1, and then from verse 40 to 45, and then we continue to read also Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. And Mark 2, verse 1 to 12, it is where we will find our text. After the reading of God's word, we sing again from Psalm 103, the God who give us everything is also providing the forgiveness of sins, and then is also providing healing. So Psalm 103, verse 2 to 3, after the reading of God's word. We read God's word from Mark 1, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I'm willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you do not tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for the cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. We continue in chapter 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such a large number that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by the four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." May the Lord bless the preaching of the reading and the preaching of his word. Amen. Text is Mark chapter 2, and then from verse 1 to 12. I'm not going to repeat it. By way of introduction, when we do evangelism in the township, often we realize that people knew something about our Lord Jesus Christ. People know very well to associate Christmas to the birth of Christ, or maybe Easter to his death and resurrection. So you find that people know something. People know something about Christ. People know something about some of the miracles that he performed. You see this also in TV programs, movies, sports commentaries. People know something about Christ. But when it comes to the proclamation that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, or that there is no salvation and hope for men other than to believe in him alone, most people feel very much perturbed. They would rather have you stop the conversation. One author observed, "Sometime after my discoveries about the Bible and Christianity, I was riding in a cab in London and happened to mention something about Jesus to the driver. Immediately he retorted, 'I do not like to discuss religion, especially Jesus.' I wouldn't help but notice the similarity of his reaction to my own when the young Christian woman told me that Jesus Christ has changed her life. The very name Jesus seemed to bother people. It embarrasses them. It makes them angry, makes them want to change the subject. You can talk about God, and people do not necessarily get upset. You can talk about God the Father, Jehovah. Yes, people do not necessarily get upset. But mention Jesus, and people want to stop the conversation. Why don't the names of Buddha, Mohammed, Confucius offend people the way the name Jesus does?' I think it is that the reason that other religious leaders do not claim to be God. That is the big difference between Jesus and the others. It didn't take long for people who knew Jesus to realize that this carpenter from Nazareth was making an outstanding claim about himself. It became clear that these claims were identifying him as more than just a prophet or a teacher. He was making claims to deity. He was presenting himself as the only avenue of salvation and the only source of forgiveness of sins, things they knew that only God would claim. Brothers and sisters, such is what we find in our text this morning. I preach to you, our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates his divine authority. Our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates his divine authority. And two things we will consider together. How does he demonstrate his divine authority? First, by forgiving our sins. By forgiving our sins. And secondly, by his miraculous healing. Our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates his divine authority by forgiving our sins and also by his miraculous healing. By forgiving our sins. Brothers and sisters, in our text this morning, we read of a miraculous healing of a paralytic person. In the context of our reading, we find our Lord Jesus Christ announcing his presence of the kingdom of God. This is to say, the kingdom is displayed with some act of authority. The kingdom of God has come, and Jesus, according to Mark, is proclaiming it with great authority. Simon, Andrew, and the sons of Zebedee respond to Jesus' call without any delay. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. Jesus teaches with amazing authority. And you read in chapter 1, verse 22, that he teaches with authority, not as they are teachers of the law. Jesus casts out evil spirits, and even there we read, "What is this new teaching? And with authority He even gives orders to the evil spirit, and they obey him. Mark 1, verse 27. Jesus banishes diseases by healing many who had various diseases. So he can heal many. Chapter 1, verse 34. Truly, the kingdom of God is present. It is not surprising that Jesus becomes popular. We read also there in chapter 1, verse 37, everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that is the reason we read in the opening of our text. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such a large number that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. While Jesus was in the house in Capernaum, everything was okay. I think you would even hear the sound of a needle. If a needle would fall, everything was okay. There was a great amount of tranquility as the Lord was proclaiming the word to them. Everything changed in verse 3 and 4. We read there, some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. One commentator put it this way, the friend's obvious intent intended Jesus to heal their paralytic friend. That is their unspoken intent. The physical need is so obvious, no words are necessary. This physical need is so desperate, the friends are prepared to take the rather extreme measure of dragging through the roof above Jesus' head to bypass the crowd that surrounded him. So they taking this extreme measure, opening the roof, and they are lowering the mat that this person was lying on to the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. I guess the saying is true. You do not have real friends until your friends are prepared to do whatever it takes to bring you to Jesus. You don't have real friends until your friends are prepared to do whatever it takes to bring you to the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. To everyone's surprise, Jesus does not immediately provide physical healing, but rather he forgives the sins of the poor man. When Jesus saw their faith, we read in verse 5, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus saw their faith, this included maybe also the paralytic, because he most likely agreed that his friend would carry him, bring him to Jesus. But for all these acts of faith, so that their friends would be healed again, Jesus provided a spiritual healing. Son, your sins are forgiven you. This motif is built from chapter 1, where we read from verse 40 to 45, which was part of our reading. Jesus healed a leper who is desperate for cleansing. We read there, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I'm willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Well, there is a clear connection between the two healings. As one commentator observed, Jesus demonstrates both the power and the willingness to purify those who are ceremonially unclean. Yet his encounter does not end there. Jesus gives this man directives. See that you do not tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Remarkably, the author continues, Jesus is not defiled by the contact with this leper. Rather, he is the one who makes clean those who are ceremonially unclean. You can read that in the book of Leviticus. This story functions to picture the, and anticipate the forgiveness from the defilement of sin that Jesus provides in the encounter that follows. By the encounter that follows, the commentator refers to the healing of the paralytic man in our text. So you see that there is a connection between the healing of the leper and also the healing of the paralyzed man. When the paralytic man is brought to him, Jesus demonstrates his authority by forgiving his sins. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." This caused a stir, you can imagine. These people, like many today, thought of Jesus as the great prophet. They thought of him as a great miraculous healer, but they never thought of Christ as divine. We read the following in verse 6 and 7. "Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" Is that not true? Who can forgive sins but God alone? It is only God who can forgive sins. You see, the Israelites were acquainted with their history. They knew a great deal about Abraham. They knew a great deal about Moses and Elijah and some other great figures of the Old Testament. None of these great figures have ever claimed to be able to forgive sins. It is no surprise that the Pharisees and the scribes understood what Jesus is doing. He is claiming to be God. He is claiming to be divine. Brothers and sisters, no man in the world can forgive sins. There is no parent or bishop or pope or pastor who can forgive sins of men, but only God alone. Children, if your parents would say, "Today, my son, my daughter, I forgive your sins, I take away your sins," you should be sure that there is no real truth in that. Why? Because we are all born in sin. We are all sinners. We struggle every day with our sins. That is the reason why we need a Savior who is a true man and true God at the same time. Only God and Christ, God-man, is able to forgive our sins. In forgiving the sins of the paralytic brothers and sisters, Jesus is showing his divine power. You must go back to the Old Testament to grasp this. For example, Psalm 103, which we sang, you read there in Psalm 103, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits." And verse 3, "Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle." Notice as you read there in this psalm, in verse 3, "Who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases." Notice how the forgiveness of sin precedes the healing of diseases. So it's first the forgiveness of sins and then the healing of diseases. But chief among everything is that this psalm is attributed to the Lord, only God. Only he can forgive sins and heal men from their sicknesses and diseases. The psalmist continue, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed our transgressions from us." There are many other passages from the Old Testament, like Isaiah 38, verse 7, Micah 7, verse 19, which solemnly credits God for our forgiveness of sins. Only God can forgive sins. But brothers and sisters, we find a paralytic who experienced this amazing forgiveness by faith as a gift from God in the flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. But that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. But I want to pause a bit and ask this question. Why did Jesus begin with the forgiveness of sins to the paralytic? Why didn't he just start by healing him? These four friends who brought him to Jesus, I don't think they had in their mind that they are bringing him, that he might be forgiven his sins. They brought him to Jesus so that Jesus can heal him the way they would like to see their friends walking again. Well, brothers and sisters, this might be obvious to many of you, but we must remind ourselves, when Jesus saw their faith, he prioritizes the greatest need of the paralytic. More than the physical healing, this man needed the spiritual healing. It is because of sin that this man is where he is. Sin has brought miseries to this man. Sin has brought miseries to the whole world, to all of us. Why do we face illnesses and death? Why do we have corruption and other ills in this country? Why are we witnessing the malice, the envy, the hatred, and the bloodshed from Palestine and other war zone countries? It is because sin has entered the world. The gospel reveals the true problem. The real problem is that man is not right with God. We should realize that we are all sinful and that we need the gospel to be right. We might not be engaged in crime or corruption as explained by society, but even us, brothers and sisters, we are corrupt and harbor every sort of sin. We are also sinful. We also need the gospel. I think I've mentioned this from the pulpit, but it is important to repeat this again. Take, for example, how the government sets up all kinds of programs for offenders, people who go to jail, and they try to rehabilitate them. But we realize that until people know Christ as their personal savior, all comes to nothing. People will re-offend. People will relapse to all sorts of addictions if their hearts are not changed. Sadly, is that even Christians, those who experience the power of the gospel in their lives, are sometimes fooled by all these man-made initiatives to try and change the behavior. Whereas we learn that righteousness is the result of the implanting done only by the living God. I think we often make this mistake when we want to discipline our children. I do it many times. Sometimes we seek to change the behavior without really addressing the heart. We make our children moralistic, but not repentant. They can never be true and genuine rehabilitation. They can never be true change without the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to our hearts. One author put it this way: through scripture, the sinful nature of the world is compared to darkness. Darkness of sin threatens to suck us into its evil ways. How can we withstand the strength of the world's gravitational pull towards sin? The bigger an object in the outer space is, the stronger its gravitational pull. Something with stronger gravitational pull than the world has to enter your life if you are to stay away from sin. God's love is bigger than sin. You will be relieved from the pull of sin when the gravitational pull of God's love, demonstrated at the cross of Christ, pulls your heart towards him. When only God pulls or changes your heart, that's when you will have true change. It is Christ alone who can forgive sins. In this time of political unrest and rhetoric utterances that seek sometimes to divide our country, yes, I dare to say that even in the times of load shedding and blackouts, let the church of God not be deterred. The greatest problem we face, it is the problem of sin. Man needs to be made right with God. It is only Jesus who can satisfy through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ has brought redemption through his blood. So what do we do as Christians today? Well, firstly, we need to trust Jesus with our whole hearts. We need to pray and for the change of men, for the true change of hearts. We need to keep on praying, brothers and sisters, for our family members. Pray for the society, our colleagues. Pray for the government, because only Jesus can change the hearts of men. Secondly, we have the responsibility to share the gospel. In all these happenings around us, things which are despondent that we face in this country, everywhere, in our families, will we have the opportunity to point people to Christ? The gospel message is the true message. And we have that responsibility, well, as Christians, to point people to the cross, to the comfort. So let us keep on proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Let me rush to the second point, our last point. Jesus Christ demonstrates his divine authority. We have seen in the first place by forgiving our sins, and secondly, now by his miraculous healing. By his miraculous healing. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates his divine authority. And we have seen how he forgave the sins. But let us now move to how he heals the paralytic. And then we read it there. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Our Lord Jesus Christ never did miracles for fun, or he never performed miracles for curiosity. Elsewhere we read that it was actually in Capernaum where he did this in Matthew 13, verse 58, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Christ refrained from doing miracles in Capernaum, according to Matthew 13, because there people never had faith. The miracles demonstrated his divine power, the divine power of our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to announce to the world that the kingdom has come, that the kingdom of God is at hand. This has to be done with a great demonstration of power of the Holy Spirit. It was never for gullibility, but it requires the response in faith. Take, for example, how Jesus heals the paralytic. He only speaks and things happen as he commanded. I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. Dear congregation, it is only God who can speak and things come to be as they are. You need to go back to the first pages of the Bible. God spoke and everything was as it is today. We are told by the Apostle John that the very same word that spoke in the beginning, it was our Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is God. This is something people missed during his life on earth. Everything that people still miss today, especially the entertainment world. The very thing which the church compromises as we want to fit in the world. Or maybe something we forget as we face challenges and struggles and problems in our lives. In this passage, our Lord Jesus Christ prioritizes the spiritual aspects. He forgives the sins of this paralytic person. That is primary, of course. That is important to forgive the sins. But even the physical need is not neglected. When we have things that we want or things that we need, we can bring them to Christ. He doesn't neglect it. This encourages us to trust him in our bodily struggle and needs. When we are sick, when we need everything that we need in our lives, we can go to Christ in prayer. He does not neglect our physical needs. In conclusion, in 2004, Mel Gibson produced a movie called The Passion of Christ. In this movie, Jim Casavell cast as Jesus according to the movie. This movie was so popular. I was still at Mukanyu, and one of the pastors said there that, you know, this movie, we can just keep the preaching during Good Friday, and let us just show the movie. Well, even though Jim Casavell succeeded in trying to portray the horror of the cross, but he can never truly act or show us who Jesus is. Jesus was not one of the greatest the great prophet of the Old Testament, but he's God-man. He is to be worshipped. Paul writes about Christ, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ in this text demonstrates his authority, yes, by forgiving the sins of this paralytic, but also by his miraculous healing. He is more than a carpenter. You see, the paralytic person was healed, but later he died, maybe in his old age. We do not know. There are a number of people who were healed. There were a number of people also in scripture who were actually raised to life again, but they eventually died again. Jesus prioritizes the forgiveness of sins because that reconciles us to God, and that is gives us eternal life. That is primary. Although Christ, yes, we can come to him with all our needs, but primarily, well, Christ forgives our sins and he provides to us eternal life. I close with this hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. In every rough and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. us assemble in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are God and you are in control of everything. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us and that we might come every Sunday morning, evening, Lord, to listen to your word. The world is in panic. There are wars. There are things that are depressing as we look them from the perspective of the world or from the perspective of the flesh. But Lord, your word gives us comfort that you are in control. And your word points us to the greatest problem that is facing the world. We thank you, Lord, that you have purchased us, made us holy only through Christ. That in Christ, Lord, you have provided the forgiveness of sins and that we can be called your children. Lord, we live in the hope that the world and everything will pass away and that your kingdom will come. We pray, O Lord, that your kingdom may come. And we pray, O Lord, as we live in this world, that you give us the courage to continue to spread your word. Lord, to trust you, but also to speak about your greatness and your holiness. We remember, O Lord, the ministries that are here in this church. We pray, O Lord, that you continue to bless the church, our responsibility to share the gospel, but O Lord, to come together as your congregation. We pray for the pastor here and his family, Muruti Brusma. Be with him as he minister. We pray for the elders and all the congregants that they might trust in you. We are thankful, O Lord, that the light is shining here in this place. We pray for other churches also, the bond of churches, mission work. We thank you, Lord, that we can have fellowship in this way. We continually remembering, O Lord, the world in which we live in, our country, South Africa, and all its ills, O Lord, we pray that you can resolve them, O Lord. We pray for the wars that are continuing in Palestine, Ukraine, Russia, other parts of Africa, where there is so much unrest. We pray, O Lord, that you might bring peace, that your kingdom would come. Be with us, O Lord, as we go home and enjoy the rest and bring us together again in the evening. Lord, we pray that not to us, O Lord, not to us, but only to your name be honor, be glory. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. After the collection, we sing from Psalm 30 and then verse 3 and 8. Psalm 30, verse 3 and 8. Let us receive the collection. brothers and sisters, receive the blessing from the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.